Father God, we thank you for the rich tapestry of your word, which weaves throughout time and throughout our lives. And just help us to be filled with the Spirit and just to hear clearly what you want to tell us this morning. And think about how it affects us in our daily lives now and as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've got one slide this morning. Quite often you try and put in slides together and think what will work. But I think it's such a powerful symbol that really covers the whole talk that there is only one slide, and that is of this lampstand, the gold lampstand and the two olive trees. So the prophet Zechariah had 8 visions from God, all in one night. And these visions were an encouragement to the people who'd returned from exile in a time of great change. And last week we heard Zechariah's 4th vision encouraging Joshua the high priest. This week his 5th vision encouraged Zerubbabel, the civic leader. Now Zerubbabel is thought to have originally been an Babylonian Jew who returned to Jerusalem with the exiles, leading them, and became governor of Judea under the Persians. And as a descendant of the house of David, Zerubbabel rekindled Jewish hopes of the Messiah coming. And God encourages Zerubbabel with this message: the temple that you have begun will be completed, and my people will become a light unto the nations under Messiah. And this will not be accomplished by human effort, but by my Spirit. In the 4th vision, we saw how God intended to deal with the sins of the people by clothing them in righteousness. And this 5th vision is about how God will sustain the life of this community while it does the work that he has given them to do. Because this is a very small, fragile community in a largely hostile environment with spiritual lethargy. When Solomon built the temple that the Babylonians destroyed, he had almost unlimited resources at his disposal. His father David had fought many battles and used some of the plunder to build the temple. But this remnant returning from exile didn't have an army that Solomon had. They didn't have an army at all. And Solomon was the monarch of a powerful kingdom that ruled over many Gentile nations. But the Jews in Zechariah's day had no such authority. How will they be sustained to complete the building of the temple that had started 20 years previously when they are feeling so despondent? Who will keep the lamp burning? So in this 5th vision, Zechariah is roused by the angel. So you could imagine he's not asleep, but he must be getting quite tired after the previous 4 visions. And the angel asked him, "Who do you see?" And Zechariah told the angel that he saw a solid gold lampstand, which you can see in this picture, with the 7 lamps and that bowl at the top, and that's where the oil was stored, with the 2 olive trees at either side, each with a branch beside the lampstand, and a golden pipe extended from each branch to the bowl so that golden olive oil poured from the tree. And out of the bowl, according to most commentators, there were 49 spouts or pipes, 7 to each of the 7 lamps on the lampstand. Now, this lampstand was similar to the one that stood in the tabernacle, with 3 exceptions. The first one being the bowl on top of it, The second one being the seven pipes to each lamp, and the third one being the two olive trees. Now, one of the more tedious duties of temple service in those times was the constant care of the lamps on the golden lampstand. I don't know whose job it was, possibly the priest's, but they had to be continually refilled with oil, cleaned of soot, and their wicks had to be maintained. But in this vision, Zechariah sees self-filling lamps fed directly from those two olive trees. There is no manual intervention needed. So these additions point to the abundant, continual supply of oil to the lamps. And the lights of the lampstand symbolize God's people and the important task that God gives his people of those times and now to be a light to the nations, to reveal God to those who don't know him, who still walk in darkness. And the oil that flows in constant, abundant supply so that the lamps can keep burning symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And Zechariah asks the angel who the olive branches represent. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. And although the angel doesn't fully answer the question with names, it is accepted that the two olive trees represent the priestly and kingly offices in Israel, and the two branches being Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor, a descendant of King David. And Zechariah describes Zerubbabel as a man empowered by the Spirit, chosen by God to build the temple. The day of Zerubbabel is described as a day of small things not to be despised, but not the final reality of when Jesus, the Messiah, will come. It is Jesus, God's anointed one, that's what Messiah or Christ means, who provides the Holy Spirit in abundant supply to his people, which the oil represents. And every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. But we must learn to walk by means of the Spirit and not the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the olive oil that feeds the lamps symbolizes the power and provision of God's Spirit in our lives. Luke 12:35-36 tells us, Jesus himself tells us, get dressed for service and keep your lamps burning. Be like people waiting for their master to come back from the wedding celebration, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door to him. In Matthew 25:1-12, he also told the parable of the 10 virgins, encouraging us to ensure that we don't run out of oil. We need to be constantly filled with God's Holy Spirit in order to remain prepared for Christ's return. And a woman once asked the evangelist D.L. Moody, why do you talk so often about the need for being filled with the Holy Spirit? You are always stressing the need again and again. Why isn't once enough to be filled? And Moody replied, I leak. And we all leak, and maybe we don't ask to be filled with the Spirit enough. When was the last time you asked to be filled with the Spirit? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Do you ever feel like you have too much to do? I quite often do, and I just find it difficult to manage how I can fit everything in. How will I get things done without burning out? Well, we are not meant to do things under our own power and might. The work that God gives us is to be his lampstand, both as a church and as individuals. And the only way we can fulfill that task is by depending on the continual supply of the oil of God's Spirit. And in that way, we will burn for God and not burn out. I'll try this analogy, which happened recently. So last Friday evening, after a busy day at work, I was mowing the lawn because it was forecast rain over the whole weekend and the grass needed cut. I ran over the cable with the lawnmower and bang, severed it in half. Thankfully, safety things these days means you don't get electrocuted. But I'd only done half the job. So there was an old mower in the garage ready for the tip. I switched it on, the electricity, and pushed it, and nothing happened. The engine wouldn't start. So I tried to get some speed up, so I was running back and forward with it. Thankfully, no one could see this spectacle. And I was putting lots of effort into it, many times, but it was useless because I was going back and forward, but the grass wasn't being cut. And then eventually, after a lot of effort, the engine started and I could continue the job. And so it is with the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can put energy into things, as much energy as we can manage, using the tools that are available to us. But we need to ask for the engine of the power of the Holy Spirit to help us complete the task. And to use the lampstand analogy, the power for the light doesn't come from the wick itself, but from the oil that saturates the wick. So as long as the wick is saturated, it will burn brightly. But if there's no supply to the wick, it will go out. So we must allow God's Spirit to saturate us so that we will burn brightly for Jesus. Luke 11:13 tells us to further God's kingdom on earth, we must follow the encouragement of Jesus himself, who invites us to ask for the Spirit's work in our lives. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We must ask him to keep being filled. Dr. Charles Feinberg points out the appropriateness of oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and he lists 7 functions of oil. Now, he hasn't listed the one which says you need oil to keep your car going, but he's listed, first, oil lubricates, minimizing friction and wear. This is that 3-in-1 stuff that you can get. Second, oil heals, and it's used in services of healing. The Spirit of God heals wounded hearts. Hearts wounded by sin or the sorrows of life. As we know, oil lights, it illuminates, the Spirit illuminates God's word and lights up the path to give us direction in our lives if we ask for it. And fourth, oil warms, and the Spirit melts cold hearts that are unresponsive to God. Fifth, oil invigorates. The Spirit gives divine energy and strength as it gives to Zerubbabel to complete the building of the temple. Sixth, oil adorns. And in the Old Testament, it was used to adorn the body at a time of joy. Even so, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is God's joy. And seventh, oil polishes, the Spirit smooths out the rough edges of our lives as he produces in us kindness and gentleness. Verse 7 says, "Where are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground." The Message version says, "So, big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you're nothing but a molehill." The mighty mountains that will be levelled represent a huge pile of rubbish and rubble left from the destruction of the previous temple, but more likely it represents difficulties. A mountain is used as a metaphor for difficulties in our lives that we need to get over. And this would be difficulties that Zerubbabel had to face, but however great those difficulties are, God's Spirit would achieve them. But God didn't remove that mountain, those difficulties, in one magic moment. Zerubbabel had to keep working for another 4 years before the temple was finished. Now, I work on projects as part of my job, and if a project goes on for more than 18 months, it's considered project lethargy sets in, and it is really difficult. And there was the further problem of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, they didn't get completed until Nehemiah's day, which was almost 100 years later. So Zerubbabel must have been thinking, this project will never get done. The work had begun over 20 years before, and it would still take another 4 years. I think it's amazing how God takes time to accomplish his work through his people. He appeared to Abraham and promised to make him the father of many nations and to bless all nations of the earth through him. It was almost 2,000 years later when Jesus came. Obviously, we are in a hurry to do things. God isn't in a hurry, and his time is perfect. But God assures Zerubbabel that his hands, which had laid the foundation of the temple, would complete it with the help of his Spirit. Eventually, he would lay the last stone, as it was written, where it says, "Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.'" The Message version, "He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it." In summary, Joshua and Zerubbabel were two anointed and appointed leaders, called by God and empowered, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. Zerubbabel was a very capable man by all accounts, but he had a deep dependence on God. He didn't do things under his own strength. And by all accounts, he was a very impressive leader. So it is him that God gave this word to in this vision. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." A message for the whole community. They must not despise the day of small things, for the kingdom of God can never be anything other than overwhelmingly great. And participation in it through obedient service to God, however seemingly small the task, whenever we're asked to do it, is just as important. And the vision reminds them of the significance of what God calls them to do, but also of the great resources God has provided them to do it. These leaders, raised up and empowered by God. The word of God preached to them by the prophets, but above all, God's presence, his Spirit among them. God, who had called them to rebuild the temple, would sustain them in all the struggles as they did it, giving them hope and encouragement after the disappointment of when they returned from exile. And God gives us the same hope and encouragement. God himself keeps the lamp burning. But we need to ask him for the continual supply of oil. Amen.